Good evening. Today is Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024, and we are studying the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This week's chapter and step is...
The doctor's opinion.
Thank you. The doctor's opinion. And our speaker tonight is Lindsay P. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you. Shall I go? Yeah, awesome. Hi, all. I'm Lindsay P. from New York, recovered compulsive eater. So glad to be here with you. I just hope that, you know, I feel my job is to demonstrate through me, through the share, what God can do. And I'm just so excited to be here and hope I can share that message. I'm just going to share my screen briefly and just show a very few photos. I left my blonde hair at home this morning. This was me as a child. I'll get into it in a second, but I had a very difficult childhood and really learned to just smile through the pain and just always had a smile plastered on my face. Throughout the years, I'm almost 41 now. Throughout the years, I have yo-yoed my way up, down, left, right, sideways. But what I do have in my camera roll are a ton of day one photos. I took these photos constantly because I was going to be in the magazines and I was going to finally have that Human Age Solution work for me. That diet was going to work. I would be, my dream, my fantasy was I was going to be in a Nutrisystem commercial, then a Weight Watchers commercial, then a Pilates commercial. You know, I just have so many day one photos because that was the day I was going to start and the journey was going to happen and I was finally going to lose that weight. Unfortunately, I don't really have many after photos because I really only got bigger and I know Human Age Solution would work for me. Most recently, after getting recovered, I was able to celebrate. This is my husband and my daughter, and we were recently at her dance competition here. And what a difference between last year and this year at her dance competition. This year, I brought my food. I was able to make the day about her. I was able to be free of those food thoughts. I was thinking the whole day, you know, intermittently, wow, last year at this time, I was white knuckling it until maybe an hour in. Then I was binging my head off at the concession stand. Then I was so full and exhausted. Then I was complaining to my husband about my stomach. Then I was thinking, how many hours till we get home? Where can I get my next fix? And my daughter's competition happened somewhere in there, but not with me present whatsoever, being mindful. So the fact that I can enjoy that and really the fact that my daughter can enjoy having her mom there with the focus actually being on her is truly the miracle. So I'm just going to stop sharing my photos. Okay. So as I said earlier, I did have a very tough childhood, and I like to bring that up because for a couple of reasons, but I am a survivor of incest. I was very bullied in school growing up. I saw a lot of domestic violence at home. And, you know, I feel that the same God that was accompanying me and helping me during my childhood, really helped me endure my childhood, is the same God who made me who I am today. Not despite my childhood, but truly because of it. You know, I think I'm just more of I'm a sensitive, empathetic person. I can appreciate the positives in life. I can appreciate normalcy in life now, which is something I didn't have growing up. And I believe that God was with me the whole time. So, you know, of course, the question has always been in my mind, was I eating because of my childhood? You know, was I trying to numb or disassociate from it? Was I trying to play God and have, trying to play God because I was so out of control over the aspects that I couldn't handle when I was younger, that I didn't want to handle when I was younger? But I've come to the conclusion this time around that I'm truly a compulsive overeater because I have a phenomenon of craving that afflicts me once I start eating my alcoholic foods and practicing my alcoholic behaviors. I truly am without defense against the first drink. So a lot of people eat in order to soothe themselves. A lot of people eat because they are going through a breakup, had a struggle, or they're happy or they're lonely. A lot of normal people do that. I have an eating disorder that requires a miracle because I cannot stop once I start. And that I believe is how I was born. I believe I eat or I ate compulsively because I'm a compulsive overeater. I wasn't a compulsive overeater because I ate, because eating really wasn't the problem. Eating was really the solution, and I couldn't stop. However, I do think that because I didn't learn great coping skills and I didn't have a real outlet for my own emotions or feelings, that food did become my drug of no choice rather than my drug of choice. And like I said before, I have this disease. I will always have this disease. I have an ism. It's never going to become a wasm. And I just want to share a quote from the big book that truly encapsulates how I feel about this. It says, "We have seen the truth demonstrated again and again. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Commencing to drink after a period of sobriety, we are in a short time as bad as ever. If we are planning to stop drinking, there must be no reservation of any kind, nor any lurking notion that someday we will be immune to alcohol." And being that, this week is on the doctor's opinion, I truly want to just be so unequivocal that I do have an allergy of the mind and the body. And that might have saved me a lot of pain. I gave my 30s away to this disease. I gave my 20s away to this disease. I gave a lot of my teenagehood also. But if I could have accepted that or known that I couldn't control it, maybe I would have gotten some recovery sooner. Who knows? And I can't play God and wonder. But I would always use food as every solution. And it would just give me that ease and comfort. Nothing is like that first bite. But unfortunately, I would just nurture myself into very lonely and dark places. Even when I no longer wanted the food, I just couldn't stop. I would wake up with a promise in the morning that that was it, that was going to be my last day. I would sign up for pay programs. The more money I spent, the better, because I felt now I've committed. I can't let this money go to waste. But by the evening, I was binging. I felt like this disease was like being in jail with the lock on the inside. And every day I would just tighten that lock, because every day I couldn't control it. I couldn't be in charge of it. I am powerless. So I just kept turning the key. And when I was in sixth grade, I was very, like I said before, I was very bullied as a child for many reasons. And then when I was in sixth grade, I really was able to find my solution, which was food. And I befriended a friend in school who also loved to binge. And I gained a significant amount of weight. And my mom brought me to Weight Watchers, which I hear is very common amongst my fellows. And I lost the weight and learned to just thrive on love and validation and acceptance. I was, for the first time, getting compliments. People were noticing me. People were noticing that I was losing weight. And I was just in heaven with actually getting a positive response from people. And as I became a teenager, I realized that if I can become thin, I would get validation from men. And if I had to white knuckle a diet, I was miserable. I was restless, irritable, and discontented. So I needed something in order to distract me so I can stay on that diet plan, because I was so miserable. So that validation from men would temporarily mask that pain I was feeling, and I could get that validation and acceptance and then feel like I could hold off on the food a little bit longer. And that's really how I lived my life through college and graduate school. I really just was restricting, binging, restricting, binging. I actually have this funny mem— well, it's not really funny. Maybe for me, it's funny. I have this memory of going to a buffet with my mom, who also is still a compulsive eater. And I was so proud of myself because I was thin. And I said, "I figured out how I can binge on all the Chinese food and not gain a pound." And she was like, "How? How?" And I said, I wear loose clothes and then I binge and I don't eat for 3 days. And I was so proud of myself. I must have been like 17, maybe 18. And my mom was just so enamored by it. She was so excited for me. Yeah. And I still remember like being there, just so haughty toddy. I found this, and it's just such a reminder how unhealthy, this was. So when I got married and had a child, 7 years ago, I was like, well, that's it. I'm going to be the cycle breaker. I've gone through so much pain, so much struggles. I'm going to not only break the cycle of abuse, which thank God so far I have, but I'm also going to break the cycle of unhealthy eating because I saw my mom and I saw my grandma have a very unhealthy relationship with food. So I white knuckled the shit out of myself, right? Like, I was determined that she was going to have a mom who was healthy, who took care of herself. And I got down to somewhat of a normal weight and I was miserable. I had the perfect daughter, a doting husband, and I couldn't handle the pain. Like, food was my solution. And if I didn't have a solution, what was I going to do? And even though I would have walked through fire for my daughter, I would do anything for her. This food was like annoying. I was getting that call for that food constantly. So this addiction, brings us to such horrible places. And I think sometimes with an addiction, the truth is the first victim. And I started searching for that validation that I felt comfortable with because I couldn't go to the food. And this led to a 3-year affair with a married man at that time because I needed that validation to be a healthy enough mother. And I justified this. I figured out why this was not my fault, why it was everyone else's problem, what my husband is doing wrong. I mean, I was just sicker than sick thinking that this was a good idea. Unfortunately, that all came to light. And at that point, I had a husband who was very unhappy with me, obviously. I had to say goodbye to a man that I spent 3 years making a connection with. I had to raise my daughter, and I had no tools of living. There were two major problems at this point. I had no way of living or knowing how to live without validation from men or the food. And I have a food addiction that truly requires a miracle. And I was seeing no miracles at that point in my life. So I ended up gaining a massive amount of weight. I put the affair down. I had an angry husband in front of me, a 3-year-old. I work. And I was just miserable. The food came back with a vengeance. I was gaining weight so rapidly that I ended up in the hospital with pancreatitis. I had to wait 5 days. I couldn't eat. I had fluids until I could get my gallbladder removed. I was back in the hospital for a short while because I was having heart problems. The doctors were pleading with me, like, you need to stop. You're just gaining. And my doctor even showed me my blood pressure correlated with my weight and how it was just getting so high. And I could feel my heart beating, but I truly could not stop. And I said to myself, I can't live like this anymore. I mean, this is true torture. I'm actually killing myself. So I said, I'm going back to OA. I've been in and out of the rooms, but I always preferred that OA light version where I chose a sponsor who didn't want me to commit my food. And it was like ordering off a Chinese menu. I'll have this from column A. I'll have this from column B. I'll have this from column C. I'll go to a meeting if I have nothing else to do. And so I said, I'm really killing myself right now. I'm going to go into OA and I'm going to give it my best shot. And I don't care if God decides I'm going to gain 300 pounds and that's God's will. At least I'll know that I'm not the one killing myself. I said, I'm going to follow whatever plan she gives me. I'm going to do whatever she says. She tells me I own a business. She tells me to give that business up because it's stressful. I will give it up, but I'm killing myself and my daughter is going to be without a mom. So, I just want to at this point quote another part of the big book that really spoke to me at that moment that says half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection with care and complete abandon. So I said, there's no middle of the road solution. We're going to stay in the middle of the road, we're eventually going to get hit by a car. So I did. I met a sponsor and she was very rigid. She had a lot of things for me to do and I had to change a lot. I had to start cooking my meals. My husband was cooking all the meals for our family. I had to start packing and I had to
Excuse
commit.
me, 5 minutes.
Oh my
Five
gosh, 5
minutes.
minutes already? How did that
Yeah,
happen?
yeah.
Okay. So let me get to the solution then. So I had to make a lot of changes. And because I made those changes and worked the steps, my life is now a miracle. I have total food neutrality for the first time. I realized that God has always been saying yes to me, and I was constantly saying no to God. He needed my yes to make it happen. And if I would have chosen the parts of OA that I would have wanted and not followed my sponsor's directions, that would have been me saying no to God. I wouldn't be here sharing this message right now. I feel like if God is knocking, it's my responsibility to open it. And I've realized that God is not in my life to remove my circumstances. God is in my life to lift me up so I can better adapt to those circumstances. God is not a fire extinguisher, but he's going to help me handle that heat. And as long as I continue to give my life over to him, he's going to carry it and he's going to help me rise to the occasion. I'm not going to be able to experience a miracle or experience growth if God just takes my problems away. I need to let my character come up higher and let go of those character defects to deal with every situation that's uncomfortable. I need to rise to the occasion. Otherwise, I'm not going to see a miracle. I'm just going to see the same old Lindsay's going to get Lindsay's way. And I'm learning, even when life is tough, I don't have to carry anything because God already is. I read a quote last week that said, prayer is the most accelerated mind action known. That is so cool. The most accelerated mind action known, because I just thought prayer was listing things off. What do I want? What did I do? Why am I mad at God today? Make sure my daughter's safe. But I'm learning through two-way prayer, through literature, through morning meditation, through turning to God, that it's actually a beautiful relationship and it's bi-directional. God is there and God loves me unconditionally, no matter what your God is. And I don't need, God is probably the only entity in my life where there's nothing I have to do to earn his love and there's nothing I can do to have his love be abandoned. That is just the most beautiful relationship. And when I first came into program, I didn't have a relationship with God. I was doing a lot of bad things. I was stealing just for the fun of it. I had the money, but I enjoyed it. Obviously, having an affair, doing all types of things. And I learned that all of that I can make amends for, and I can live a God-driven life, and God is there to forgive me. But all relationships take time. So there are times, of course, that I wake up and I'm, not in the mood, or I feel nothing, or I'm just like, come on, God, where are you? I'm calling you. But that's okay because that's all relationships. And other times I feel this beautiful presence of God. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. So I'm going to have human experiences, and that's okay. I can't control the outcomes. I can only control going to God, doing the work, committing my food, and working on my own character defects. And the truth is, the amazing thing is that I've lost over 30 pounds. And honestly, when people comment on it, I'm like, oh, really? I swear to God. I'm like, I'm so not, someone once said, if you focus on the weight, you lose your recovery. If you focus on your recovery, you lose the weight. It has been so true. I never thought in 40, almost 41 years, I would say this, that I almost forget because I'm so focused living the program, trying to be a God-driven person, trying to work the steps, that like the humility is there and I'm not focused on the weight. So I don't know how much time I have. Maybe it's about to be time, but I just figured until like 1 minute. Okay. So just some things that really helped me when I got started was realizing that not everyone is going to understand. That's okay. I wrote how I was affected. I wrote like columns how I was affected behaviorally, spiritually, physically, because I have a forgetter switch. So I often go back and look at how horrible my life was. I try at first, now it's not necessarily, I avoided temptations. Because, like someone told me, if you hang out in a barbershop, you're going to get a haircut. Like, I avoided temptation wherever I could at first. I wouldn't send an alcoholic into a bar when they're first recovering. And I would just constantly tell myself the first week or so of recovery, like, just get to the bed, Lindsay. Like, this sucks. But all you have to do is, I would see my bed in my mind and just say, if I could just get to that bed tonight, I'll wake up and feel better tomorrow. I don't have to say that anymore, but it really did help when I first started. And another thing I did that was helpful was I just made a list of everything I can do instead of turning to food. And I put it all over my house, whether it was painting my nails or whatever, I cleaning. I never thought I'd say that. Anything I can do to do instead. And so I'll wrap up here, but I just am learning that if I trust God, I clean my own house and I help others, there is a miracle on the other side of it. And I'm living proof of it. I never thought I would be sitting here talking today. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lindsay. We will now open the meeting for questions or for 3-minute shares. As this is a big book study, sharing and questions should relate specifically to the chapter and step being studied this week, which is the doctor's opinion. We ask you to accept this guideline in order to keep the meeting on track. If you'd like to share or ask a question, please raise your virtual hand, which is under Reactions, or *9 if you're on the phone. I will call the raised hands in order, and the Zoom host will ask you to unmute when it's your turn. Would the timekeeper please set a timer for 3 minutes for each share and announce when time is up? If the speaker is asked a question, please allow 3 minutes for the answer. And we will start with
Leslie.
Leslie.
Hi, I'm Leslie. I'm a compulsive overeater, sugar addict, and God literally got me to this meeting tonight. I tried to get on 3 other meetings, and either they didn't ever answer, or I just couldn't. And so finally, I got on this one a few minutes late, and I was meant to hear your message. It was beautiful and so helpful for me. I was away. Away. I might went to my first meeting back in probably 35, 36 years ago. And I've dabbled over the years, but never really bought in. I have long-term sobriety from in AA. I kept thinking, I don't want to go to OA. I don't like that rigidity and that this and that. I just had judgments about all of it. And anytime I was able to get a few days abstinent, if I would get a few days abstinent, I just was looking at my notes because you just said so many things, white knuckling constantly. That's all I could do. And the food thoughts. And anyway, I'm back for about, I guess, about a month. And I had gotten up to 9 days abstinent and sugar free, and I was all excited. And when you said OA light, it didn't work and it doesn't work. I can agree with that. You just said so many things. The level of my eating disorder requires a miracle for something to happen. And I thought that being, having done steps and working, knowing the big book, knowing the 12 and 12 and AA. I had the OA 12 and 12, which I didn't read because I didn't want to be one of you guys. And anyway, I thought I can apply this to food. I know I can, but I couldn't without support. I couldn't without the fellowship that you all bring. So in the last month, I mean, today I have a clean day so far. And when you said about just waiting to go to bed, that's how I feel. If I can get to bed, I'm gonna have an abstinent day, and it'll be my first because I've Yeah, one day good, one day not. One day, and anyway, I just have to thank you so much. You spoke to so many things I needed to hear, and that's why I know that God has done for me what I couldn't do for myself, just getting me to this meeting tonight. That's been happening a lot in other places in my life, but thank you so much, and thanks for having the meeting for me tonight.
Thanks, Leslie. I do not see another hand up. Rachel Y.
Hey everybody, Rachel Y here, recovered compulsive overeater. I keep forgetting. It's so exciting, but every day I feel like it's day one. Lindsay, thank you so much for coming and speaking. Last night I shared Doctor's Opinion is my favorite chapter in the whole book. It's where you first get that first insight of the change that is going to happen and the freedom, and it's all in that first chapter. It's just such a beautiful chapter. And I feel like our stories are so similar, and I've been so blessed to know you and have a chance to speak with you about it. It's really interesting. I've been hearing a lot of speakers recently about dealing with like kind of trauma and then the compulsive eating and how it's like totally separate, and it's like these two things that you're dealing with at the same time, and it's just really interesting. But I felt so much. I resonated so much with so many things that you said. So I have a question for you. I just kind of was curious, what is your favorite line from the doctor's opinion? I know I have several, but what's the line that makes you really feels like it sums up your experience for you? And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, Lindsay.
I guess the line that is very simple but sums it all up is that we have no defense against the first drink. And I mean, that just boils it all down to, there's nothing else that needs to be said after that. We truly have no defense after that first drink. And I need to remember that too, because there are times I'll have a food thought or think, oh, I got this now. And there's no defense. Like there, it requires a miracle. And this disease is progressive, whether I'm in recovery or not. So I'm constantly outrunning it. And that's okay because I'm living the miracle, but there is no defense. It doesn't matter. I could be sitting here in 30 years, 40 years. I hope I am. There's still going to be no defense. Thank you.
All right, Anita and then Ritza.
Hi, Lindsay. Your story was amazing. Thank you for telling it. Thank you for being so honest too. I'm going into my eighth and ninth step, and yeah, I have to be really honest again. I thought the fourth step was okay, but eighth and ninth, yeah. But I talked to people, and they said, you get freedom after you do that. So I'm looking forward to that freedom, and being really honest, yeah, with you, myself, with another person, with higher power and everything. I don't know, I liked your few sayings that you brought up. Just what was it? If you concentrate on the weight, you lose the serenity. If you concentrate on the serenity, you lose the weight. That was beautiful. It's something so simple, but that just really helps, because I've been off of sugar for 71 days, which is a miracle. Thank you to my higher power. Thank you. But the weight isn't coming off yet. But I know that I can't concentrate on it, because just every single day is just, I didn't think that getting off of sugar would be continually amazing, just like continually, like every day. I'm like, gosh, I'm feeling better. I'm able to walk even longer, even further. It's no big deal now. It's a miracle. And things are coming true, happening that I never thought would happen. Thank goodness. And I haven't read the doctor's opinion in a while. So it makes me realize I need to go back through the big book. Yeah, and I don't know. I'll just pass. So thank you so much, Lindsay.
Ritza.
Hi, thanks, Ritza, grateful compulsive overeater. Thank you, Lindsay, from a fellow New Yorker. Thank you for your share and your honesty and your vulnerability. I am miraculously 5 years free of sugar, but recently back from relapse from behaviors, compulsively eating things that I never, ever would have imagined. If anyone had ever said to me, you might have a problem with a fruit one day, I would have thought, well, you're insane. You know, I mean, that's just never going to happen. But finding new things. And one of the things that you said, I have an ism and it will never be a wasm. That really kind of hit me. And that's the bottom line. It is never going away. I'll never, you know, have this thing, you know, licked. And it is a progressive and powerful and insidious disease. And unless I'm constantly working the 12 steps and working the program and using the tools and all of the rest, I am never going to stay away ahead of it. And I may always be running, and that's okay. That means I'm just doing the work and I just keep going. What you also said about, you know, not being able to stop eating even when you no longer actually want the food, and feeling like you're in a jail and the lock is on the inside. What a picture that you painted. Because that's certainly how it has felt, you know, many, many times over. But in the end, it's, you know, we hear this said all the time. It's a simple program. It's not easy, but it's simple. And you ended it with trust God, clean your own house and help others. And that's the whole program in a nutshell. So thank you again for all the reminders and for your share. I pass.
All right, it's coming up to 8:47 p.m. Eastern Time. We will now stop the recording for unrecorded questions or shares. Would the Zoom host